This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Katrina Rowe, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you going?
Well done for yesterday too, by the way.
Yeah, look.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
884 children sponsored. 184 of those came from Sydney.
Yeah.
So, especially in the current times, it's quite a big commitment to save $44 a month for a very long time.
Yeah.
It's a big commitment. So, very impressed with that.
Oh, yeah. Effort. And look, when you're a parent, you know, you can't help but feel moved when you, you know, you hear of the suffering of other people's children. And certainly, you know, this week in the news, there's been a couple of stories that have been quite touching, particularly. There's been a lot about the trial of Manju and Thomas Sam. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but this is the couple whose baby died of severe eczema and malnutrition at 9 months. And this poor couple are actually on trial for manslaughter by gross negligence because they failed to seek appropriate medical attention for their baby. The baby's dad was a homeopath, and they had apparently treated this baby with homeopathic remedies. But the child was in such pain from this severe skin condition, and these remedies obviously weren't working, and the baby later died of infection because it had been so weakened. So,
oh, man.
Really sad, sad story.
That's horrible. Why? I mean, you'd assume they'd see that it's not working. Why didn't they seek help earlier?
Yeah, well, they couldn't answer that question. There was 10 days that went by after they returned from India when, you know, this child was obviously distressed and they didn't get help, and the baby was in severe pain. So, look, you can only assume that the parents had some kind of, you know, him being a homeopathic practitioner, that they had some kind of ideological commitment to homeopathy, even though it clearly wasn't working. And it just also reminded me of, I don't know if you remember the recent controversy, but there was a baby that died during a home birth, and the baby's mother was a vocal advocate of free birthing. Now, this is different to normal home birthing because in free birthing, there's no midwife, there's no medical attendant. And when this lady's labour allegedly went on for 4 days, she didn't have help and the baby died. Now, so obviously it may not be this black and white, but it seems like in both these two tragedies, there's a chance that the baby's death could have been prevented if the parents had sought appropriate medical help. And so it looks as though in both cases, the ideology of the parents really interfered with their ability to make the best decisions for their child.
Now, clearly we don't want to judge these parents for what they've done, but, I mean, obviously there's something we can learn from this on the larger scale of those examples, but even on a smaller scale as well, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think as parents, we just have to be prepared to reassess when the approach that we're using isn't working, whether it's in relation to something as serious as healthcare or discipline or childcare or, you know, how we want to give birth or, you know, whether we think we're going to go back to work. Whatever the issue is, we go into parenting with these certain ideas about what we will and won't do, and the reality can be very different. I think, like, childbirth is the classic example. You know, many women have very strong ideas about what kind of labour they want, but, you know, it doesn't really work out that way. You know, sometimes when they're getting there, they're just like, oh, give me the drugs, you know.
Yes.
And that continues when you get the baby home. For me, you know, I never would have thought that I would use, like, painkillers, like, you know, Panadol and Nurofen, that kind of thing, as much as I have. But, you know, the other day when Bertie was teething and she was grumpy, she was in pain, she had a slight fever, she wouldn't eat, you know, she wouldn't sleep. And then, you know, you give them some painkiller and suddenly life becomes bearable again. So, you know, I've had to really change my attitude on that issue to fit in with the reality of my life. And it's a very trivial example, but I think, you know, just looking at those two cases, that those poor babies, I think it's a good reminder that the decisions that we make can have serious consequences. So we need to be clear-headed when we make judgments, yeah.
Was that hard for you to do, or was it just pretty kind of obvious? Like, when you realised you had to change your ideology of what you wanted to do,
yeah.
Was it like, okay, well, this isn't going to work, I'm going to change? Or did you have to really go, oh, what am I going to do here? This is what I want. This isn't working.
Well, you know, I think it depends on how committed you are to that particular idea. Like, some things, like, I used to really think I was always going to have a tidy car when I had kids.
Yeah.
I was going to be one of those parents with a messy car. Oh. And obviously that's just gradually gone out the window. With the stuff like, you know, how much you use drugs or whatever, I guess it's been the reality of, well, you know, I'm not coping with this baby waking up and crying every 45 minutes, so therefore, you know, I need to do this a little bit differently. And so I think, yeah, no, I think for me, this is just, I've just realised that, you know, you've just got to be prepared to reassess not just with your child, but with each individual child, because they might, you know, respond differently to different approaches.
Yep, I'm disciplined when they hit 10 years. I think there's going to, you, as a parent, you have to be. There'll be many points where you're going to have to reassess. I think
yes.
be flexible with some of the things you thought you'd never be flexible on to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a tricky one. Now, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it too this morning. 1-300-40-2020. What things have you thought you'd never do that you've chose to do now in raising your children, if that makes sense as a question to ask? What things have you had to back down upon? Obviously, there's some things you don't back down on in certain discipline areas and stuff like that, but with things like even the painkiller, for instance.
Maybe you had this ideal picture before you had kids, and once kids came along, you went, okay, that's
out
not going to work.
Yes, I won't get any biscuit or crumbs in the car.
Oh, wow. Good luck with that, man.
That's not happened at all. Now, Katrina, other thing I wanted to mention as well, your blog from last week. Now, we didn't have a segment last week because we weren't on air, but you still put a blog up, and we had it on our website. Yeah,
I did. I wrote a blog about miscarriage and infertility, and I did it kind of in honour of Mother's Day, recognising that it's not always a happy occasion for everybody. And I just want to say I'm so full of admiration and respect for the people that have come on and shared their stories. Just had an amazing response, and so many women have just opened up about what they've been through. And I think